Okay, Chodesh Tov, the very top of Hey Hey Amud Aleph in Yevamos 85a. We're in the middle of a discussion about well, we were talking about Lashay and Shavu Kol, but in the greater scheme of things, we were talking about the source of a woman being obligated in the same way a man is obligated, meaning that the Kohen who can't marry specific women, so to the woman couldn't marry specific men of that same type. Right? So we're talking about a Kohen marrying a Chalala and a Kohenes or Bas Kohen marrying a Chala. And then we said that we get the pasuk or we get the halacha from Lo Yikachu, Lo Yikachu. Two words repeated in the pasuk of a Kohen, Malamisha Ishim Musharaz Ali Dehaish. That it's only through the man the woman is obligated. Then we say, wait a second, don't we have a general pasuk that tells us that a woman is obligated in all mitzvos of the Torah, all the los haseis of the Torah? So the Gemara says, if it was just from there, you would think that the only time that a woman would be obligated is when it's a lav hashava makol. It's a prohibition which everyone is universally bound by. But when it comes to a kohen or a bas kohen halachos, you wouldn't necessarily think that applies to them because it's very specific. So says the Gemara, v'harei tuma, the lav she'en shava bako. When it comes to tuma, that's a mitzvah which is particularly incumbent upon kohanim to not become tamei. The tam is the kasa of rachmana b'nei aharon v'lo b'nos aharon. The only reason why men kohanim are specifically obligated and not women is because the pasuk says b'nei aharon v'lo b'nos aharon. If it wasn't for the fact that the pasuk says b'nei aharon, which we have a tradition to mean that the exclusion of women, meaning that bas kohen, the women who are from kohanim families, do not have to prevent or do not protect themselves from becoming tamei to a mace, to a dead body. So that implies that if it wasn't for that drasha, if there was no b'nei aharon v'lo b'nos aharon drasha, so that means havamin and ashim chayavos. You would think that women are just as obligated as men, but why would that be? My time. Why would that be? Lav mishum derev Yehuda Marav. Is that not because of the general principle of Rev Yehuda Marav, who says isha isha, that hishva kasev isha leish, whatever the phrase was, hishva kasev isha leish lecholam shishva Torah. That was the general pasuk drasha, not the specific one of the Kohanim Leikachel. And thereby, you would think that even more specific halakhos, which don't apply to everyone, it's not a universal prohibition, even for those types of prohibitions, a woman is the same as a man. And you don't need a separate drasha for every single specific circumstance. And therefore, maybe you should similarly not need the specific drasha for marrying Kohanim. Or Kohanim getting married. Says Mar Lo, it's not true. It's not true that we learn out B'nai Ahar, that we learn out about Tuma from B'nai Aharon v'lo B'nos Aharon. That's not why we need the Pasuk of B'nai Aharon B'nos Aharon, because otherwise there would be this Drasha of Isha Isha. Rather, it's because the Gamrinan Milo Yikachu, meaning that we could have learned from the word lo yikachu, which teaches us that women are obligated just like men to not marry a chalal chalala, so they're just as obligated from the pasuk lo yikachu. You would think that they're just as obligated for other things like tuma too. And that's why we need the pasuk of b'nei aharon v'lo b'nos aharon. That's why we need the pasuk to undo that presumption that when it comes to kohanim halachos, you know, hilchos kahuna, that it would be different, different than the universal.
Can a halal kohen marry a daughter of a halal kohen?
I don't see why not. They're both halal.
A halal kohen can marry anybody. Can marry a divorcee, right?
Yeah, they're already halal. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay,
yeah.
No,
just like my sister can get married to anybody except the kohen. And my daughter.
There is still that.
Yes, there, that one still exists.
So it's stricter for women.
Why do you say that?
Because
A chalal still can't marry.
Chalal has no restriction.
Right. Well, here we're saying that she becomes a chalal. There's just not a lot of nachmias to it.
But the man has no more restrictions. He has no more rights. But he has no more restrictions.
Yeah, we've seen that way. I'm not sure. I mean, we're saying here, based on our Mishnah, that a woman who marries a halal is herself a halal. She can't marry a Kohen afterwards. I'm not sure if we pass like that. I don't know. But that's what our Mishnah says. So says the Gemara, Igadar mikicha yisr chalei, sagadar tachmina ligmar mitzuma, kamash malang. Maybe you would think that we need, in the other direction, we need the pasuk of Loikachas to teach you that a woman is just as obligated as a man, that a chalala is not allowed to marry a kohen, that it's her obligation also. And therefore, you would think that just like it's her obligation also, maybe you would think also you could use that to teach you about tumah. You would think that a woman is not obligated just like she's not obligated by Tumma. Therefore, Kamash Malam, we have the Pasuk of Loikachu to teach that a woman is obligated, that it's her obligation also to not marry a Kohen, not just the Kohen to not marry her. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yoshua, Ikla, Hintzivu. They went to this place called Hintzivu. Last year, Rav Idi Bar Avin, which was where Rav Idi Bar Avin lived. Are the Bas Kohens prohibited from marrying a Kohen? Sorry, prohibited from marrying a Chalal or not? This is what I was just talking about. Is a regular Bas Kohen prohibited from marrying a Chalal? Amal Hurav Papa, Tini Suho, Redolin, Asar Yuchsun Alu Mibavel, Kohanu Levi Yisraelim, Halam gerim v'charur mamzerim and sinim shtukev asufi kohanim levi v'yisraelim mutaram levo zebazeh. They're all allowed to marry each other. Levim v'yisraelim v'chalam gerim v'charur mutaram levo zebazeh. Those people are allowed to marry each other because the chalalim are already chalals.
But they're not allowed to marry
kohanim. But they didn't list kohanim.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Exactly. Kohanim levim yisraim mutarim levo zeh, levim yisraim chalam garim charim mutarim levo zeh, gerei charur reyum amzei reyum nesine shetukav asufim mutarim levo zeh bezeh. Right, so it goes through explicitly that the Kohanim, the chalalim, are allowed to marry anybody they want. Kohanim can. So it says the Gemara, the ilu kohanos, when it comes to the women, lechalal lo ketani. It doesn't say that they are allowed to marry a chalal. Doesn't really go through men and women at all there, but they're darshaning right now that the women Kohanim are allowed to marry a chalal. Hold on. The ilu kohanos l'chalal lo ketani. Meaning that they are not allowed to. The Bryce doesn't mention that they're them in the list. So amalei Rav Huna bar Rav Yeshua kol hecha tahani nasvi mahani vahani nasvi mahani ketani. Anytime that one's allowed to marry the other, it implies the other's allowed to marry them. Kohen kaven to ilu bai lemin tzav chalala asirulei lo ketani. Because the chal, right, because it doesn't, basically what I said, but in different words, that it doesn't list the differences between the man to the woman or the woman to the man. Here it's just saying that the man can't marry the woman, so why would it mention the woman can marry the man? Right, that would give off the wrong impression, since it's not really talking about directions, it's just talking about which pairing is a problem. Also, the commenter of Idi Bar Avin, Armaluhu Dardiki.
I didn't understand that at all. It said that all these groups are allowed to marry to the Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim.
Well, Kohanim, Yisraelim,
Levim, Yisraelim, Yisraelim, Chalalim, those are all okay.
So, also, the commenter of Idi Bar Avin, Armaluhu Dardiki. Children, Hachi Amar of Yehud Amarav, Lohuzruk Sherasli Naslipsun. We have a pasuk that women who Kohanim are not prohibited from marrying halalim. A Kohen's, prohibited from marrying a halala, but not the other way around. Yeah. Okay. Shneels midivrei sofrim. we had said that those who are obligated midrabanan or prohibited midrabanan to marry a specific woman, so then you do not have a ksuba. So, and that was different from the lavin that we had said later on in the Mishnah where there was a ksuba, right?
Right.
I forgot exactly what the case was, but that's what we had said. And we just pointed out that it's ironic that the shnios from divrei sofrim are machmir than the isir, the lav midaraisa.
So, well, but, we have other cases.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah.
We're
for sure.
Stricter with their...
Right. For
but
sure.
We need to reinforce it more.
Yeah, we had at the beginning of Beit, so we talked about that, yeah. For Yantif Halachos. So, Ba'amine B'nei Beire. So, the people of Beire asked Mir of Sheshes, Shnia Laval of Elo Shnia Liyavam. If the rabbinically prohibited erva is only to the husband, and not to the Yavam, yesh laksuvim Yavam olav. So then I guess the question becomes, if she marries the Yavam, who's not a Shnia, but her marriage rights were established from when she married a Shnia, then does she get a ksuva?
Normally, the normal case is
the Yavam takes over the first husband's.
The ksuba now comes from the first husband.
It just transfers over. He doesn't write a new ksuba, yeah.
Right. So here, he doesn't have a ksuba from the first husband. But the yavam has to give a ksuba.
Oh, is that what it's saying?
Isn't that what it's saying?
Okay, I mean, it's possible. It doesn't say in my Gemara whether or not the first husband gave her, established a ksuba. I don't know.
But we said that if it's a...
I know she doesn't get one. If they get divorced, she wouldn't get that payment. I don't know if they literally wrote one out when they got married, though. That's what I'm asking.
No, but the question is, normally she takes over the ksuba from the first husband, since she couldn't get a ksuba from
right.
the first
they
husband.
Right. They could be talking about, in general, even if nothing was ever laid out. Right. Okay, just talking in general, does she have a right to money? So, Kevin Damar Mar.
Either she should marry him or not marry him. If she should marry him.
She should not have married him.
No,
but now she did.
The Yavam.
The Yavam.
She's allowed to marry the Yavam, so why wouldn't she get a ksuba?
Because the first marriage, which is now necessitating the Yavam, was one that you're not supposed to have done. She got married illegitimately.
And so she gets punished midrabanan that she's not...
If that husband would have divorced her, she would get nothing. Now that husband died, and the ksuba transfers over, or the rights to the ksuba, whatever rights would have been to the ksuba, transfer over to the second husband, so the question is, does she get it? Because there were no rights to the ksuba from the first husband. So came into Amar Mar, ksubasa anifte ba'ala harishon leisway. The ksuba from the first husband doesn't exist, and therefore it doesn't exist here also. Odilma came into Ilu Leisley Mirishon, Takinu La Rabbanu Misheni Isley. Maybe we would say that the Rabbanu would come along and say there's a value in having a ksuba from the second husband, even though it was illegitimate from the first husband. Now she's married in a legitimate way. So the person she's allowed to be married to. So Amar Lu Rav Sheshes, so maybe the Rabbanu would give her that protection of giving ksuba. So Amar Lu Rav Sheshes Tinitua Ksubas Na Nech Debal Arishon Vim Haisa Shnia Lebal Afilim Yavam Einla. Okay, this is apparently a different price we haven't seen before, but it says, as our Havamina was, she does not get anything from the second husband.
The ketubah was instituted by the Chachamim to begin with. It's not.
Right, right. Yes, and now we're asking, when the Chachamim did that, what did they think about this case?
Well, they could do it now.
Yeah, they could do it. Yeah, that's true. But typically we assume that it's Chazal who make the rules. And the Tanayim. Yeah, I mean the Tanayim, not the Amara. So the Gemara now says, Michlal de Islam Yavam. What does that mean? Yim Haisa Shnei Lebal, Afil Miyavam Eimla. Afil Miyavam Eimla implies that the Yava, a different Yavam, does give her a ksuba. I guess the afilu is throwing them off. Even the yavam doesn't give them. Well, which one would give them? So hachturi mosav akitani ksubasa nechse baal arishon ve'ileis lei merishon takinu lei misheni im haisa shnia lebaal afil miyavam einla. That's what it's saying. Meaning this one was referring to Right. It basically skipped a step. In the Bryce before, it said that you get your ksuba from the first husband, and if the second one is, and if the husband is a shnia, so then even the yavam you don't give one. What does it mean? Is there somebody else that would give one?
If the first husband was broke, you get one from the yavam. If the first husband was
okay, I mean
rich,
that's possible.
Rich, but you're a shnia.
Right, right. In a general case, elase lay, if they don't have a ksuba for one reason or another, she can't get a ksuba from the first husband, she couldn't have, in a practical sense, so then the takina la rabbanan misheni, right, that they would create one from the second husband. But, right, in order to protect her in the marriage, but if the first one was a shnia, so they're not going to do that. Okay, bamine.
It's part of the penalties that she had
right.
from having married the first one.
Yeah.
She shouldn't. That even if
he shouldn't have married her either.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Goes both ways. But he's dead now, so we can't do anything for him, or to him. So yeah. So we continue that punishment or that the ramifications of that marriage.
But no, it is interesting though that we said it yesterday that you know Chazal decided to punish her.
I mean.
And in a sense, he profits.
By not having to pay anything.
But I guess,
yeah.
I guess maybe Chazal really wanted them to get divorced. So
right,
right.
Is there some kind of penalty that he would get? I don't think so.
Maybe they figured if
he
had to pay ksuba, he'd be less likely to
divorce.
Right. I mean, that's the whole
yes, we're trying to encourage him. We'll actually pay you if you want to get divorced. Yeah, I don't know. That's,
you
know, Zappos.
You know, at least we won't make you pay.
Right. You know, there's those. The company Zappos, they have like a policy, at least it was a famous thing, that they paid workers that weren't fully invested, they paid them to quit. Because it was worth their while to get them off the books and get better employees than to sit around with this employee that doesn't care. So they would pay them like $1,000 if they wanted to quit. If they were thinking about quitting, they were on the fence, but clearly they're not a good employee. But they don't do that in this case. I hear what you're saying, though, that they're not going to make him pay the ksuba as, you know, quasi-encouragement to get divorced from this woman he shouldn't have gotten married to in the first place. Interesting concept.
Maybe
I don't know.
That's the reasoning.
Maybe. Yeah, I hear. I don't know. So, by me, ne Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan, almano kohen gadol, kurusha chutzul kohen hajot, yesh lemizonos, leish lehen mizonos, o ein lehen mizonos. Does the husband who violates an iser daraisa, does he have the obligation to give them, to support them, to sustain them, to give them food? Typically, a husband is obligated to take care of his family. But we had said before that when it comes to a shnia l'arayos, they don't do ksuba. So what else don't people who get married illegitimately, what else don't they do? This happens to be a situation where you do give a ksuba, right?
Right.
This was the end of the Mishnah, which we said was less machmir. Hold on. Hold on, let's go back for a second. What was the Mishnah? The Mishnah had said at the end, Amanu kongol, gushu chutzul lekohen hajot, mavzer sinis, liyitzra basjol, nesan mavzer, yesh lahen ksuba. Yeah, so these are all those cases.
Right.
I think.
Right, so she's entitled to ksuba, she also entitled to mizonos.
I don't know why my note at the beginning says ein lahen ksuba, but it's not true, it's not what the Mishnah said. Yes, I don't know. So let's keep reading. So we're asking about mizonos now. They get mizonos. She gets a ksuba. What about mizonos? Hey, chidam e. Let me also to say, if you're going to say that she is sitting underneath his jurisdiction, I don't know what that means.
They're still married.
Meaning they're still married. Ba'amod v'hotzei kai. So then they have to get divorced. So mizonos islay. While they're still married. I'm sorry, mizonos islay. We're going to give them food while they're supposed to be getting divorced. I think that's the question, no?
Yeah.
Lo tzricha shehalachu l'medina sayam v'lovsav achla. She's what takes out a loan. Is that what that means? She took out a loan to get supported while he's away on business. So the Gemara says, my, what's the din in that case? Is the husband required to pay for the loan? I assume that's what it means, that she took out to get to be supported. Mizone tenai ksuba ninhu. Mizonos are a condition of the ksuba, right? It's part of the text of the ksuba that he's going to take care of her. The whole thing, all the, those crazy Amharic words that we read. Isla ksuba, once she has a ksuba, which is what we said in Mishnah, isla mizone, so then maybe she would similarly have rights to everyday costs of living and sustenance. Odoma, ksuba de la mishkal mifak, when it comes to the ksuba, which is the sort of the monetary obligation that you would give to a woman when you get divorced, that's only when islay mizon, that's what you would get if it, when you get divorced. However, mizone dilma tiakav gabe, maybe she is going to continue by the husband.
So it sounds like what you're saying is the ksuba, which she's going to get when she leaves, that's going to encourage her to want to get divorced. But mizonos,
right. Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying before. That doesn't say it as explicitly.
Right.
But dilma tiakev gabe means maybe she's going to stick around, and we don't want that to happen.
Right.
So therefore, leislay. So Amar le, Rabbi Yochanan says back to Rabbi Elazar, leislay. She doesn't get any mizonos because we're worried maybe she's going to stick around unnecessarily. Vatan is in the Brisa Yeshla. Doesn't it say she does? There's another Brisa. Why don't we just quote the Brisa before? I don't know. Kitanya hiwa achar misa. That's referring to when she didn't have a chance to get divorced because the guy died. So in that case, she gets on mizonos from the children, I assume.
Yeah. Well, from the heirs.
Whoever has the money. So Gemara said, Ista Amar. There are those who say, Ista Amar. There's a different version of the same story. Amar Le, the Rabbi Yochanan said back to Rabbi Elazar, Tanya Yeshla Ha'aba Amar V'Hotzikai. She has mizonos, and Rabbi Elazar asked the question, Ha'aba Amar V'Hotzikai. Right? So he says, yes, she gets the money from him, and he says, no, they're supposed to get divorced. How can we give her money? El Hatanya Yeshla. But doesn't it say in a Braisa that she had money, that she gets mizonos? So Rabbi said, no, Kitana Hi Lachamisa. So either way, come around this way or that way, same thing. She gets mizonos only if he had died, but not if beforehand, so that she can get divorced.
No.
Yeah, no, I wasn't married. Tanu Rabbana, Ramana Kohen Gadol Gushmach Chulkan Hashiyesh Ksuba, which was the exact quote of the end of Mishnah. So peros mizonos belaos vehipsula. Peros. I assume this is just adding to the things that he's supposed to give her. I don't have.
Yeshla ksuba peros mizonos.
Okay, I have a period there. Okay, yeshla ksuba peros mizonos and blaos. She gets the. I assume this is the nichse malog peros, and then mizonos is just obligated to support her, and then blaos are those clothings, those pieces of clothing that she gets back at the end, even if they're worn out. Hibsula at the same time, she's also sula from marrying a kohen, because. Why is she psula to marry Kohen? She's a chalala. Why is she a chalala?
Because she's a divorced. She's either a grusha or a chalutz.
She was a grusha and chalutz already.
When she married him.
Yeah, Amano Kohen Gadol, she's not a chalala. But I guess she can't marry a Kohen Gadol. But she would, I guess once they get divorced, she would be a grusha.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess that's not a big chiddush then. Uvlada pasul, and the children from that marriage would be pasul. The kovanos olahotzi, and we make them get divorced. I presume because they are living in sin, if you will. The Gemara says, Shneels v'divrei sofrim, ein laksuba lo peres v'lo mizonos v'lo blos v'hi k'sher v'lada chasher kovanos olahotzi, because those aren't isurim deraisa. So then there are no long-lasting effects in terms of children or her own possibility to marry Cohen, either I say at least, but she doesn't get any of these privileges that Chazal established for her, like the peros, mizonos, and blaos. and they have to get divorced. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Mivnei Ma'amru Almanah Kohen Gadol Yesh Lak Ksuba. Why is it that Almanah Kohen Gadol gets Ksuba? Mivnei Shu Pasul, because he's psul for her to marry.
By the way, if they're forcing him to divorce her, then why is the penalty entirely on her? He just windfall.
Well, he doesn't get a windfall. He just doesn't have to pay.
That's a windfall.
Okay.
He's had the benefits of marriage until he's forced to divorce her.
Yeah.
She's out in the street, she doesn't even have her own.
Yeah, as Leonard said before, and as the Gemara implied before, it's because we want to somehow encourage him, make it easier to get divorced. And if we would make it so that she would be paid.
If the court can force him, that's not an issue. She's naked in the street, she doesn't even get her old clothes back.
Yeah, I don't know what level of forcefulness the Beis Din has, but maybe it wouldn't be enough if it wasn't a monetary consequence either. Also, I don't know. It's a good question. What's the point of the kofin if it's not going to work? At least theoretically, it would work. So, Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Mivnei Ma'amru Almanah Kohen Gadol Yesh Ksuba. Why is Almanah Kohen Gadol gets Ksuba? Mivnei Shehu Pasul, because he is Pasul, and therefore Vehi Psula, and she's Psula from a Kohen. Chomakom Shehu Pasul Vehi Psula Kansu Oso Ksuba. Whenever they're both Pasul, they're both disqualified. They both already have consequences. So then they kept the ksuba in line, because even if they didn't, they're not going to stay married, right? Because both of them, while they're married, can't do anything. She can't get married to anybody. But that's going to happen forever. But in terms of the ksuba is incumbent upon him. And while he's married to her, he's not allowed to do anything in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to get any benefits of kahuna, and therefore he's going to want to get out of the marriage anyway, if he values those things.
Right. Is that true?
That's what it says here. He's an apostle. What does it mean he's apostle?
Yeah, but is he only apostle while he's married her? Does he become unapostle when he divorces her?
I know that that's the case in terms of modern day halacha, but I don't know. We know that the woman maintains her psul, right?
Right.
So I would think that the Gemara doesn't make a distinction. It would be the same thing. I don't know. Possible that otherwise, but the Gemara doesn't make a distinction here. Yeah. There's a question about what the literal psul is here. Is it like a literal iser, or is it some kind of gezera? We need some kind of leverage. We don't have any leverage to get them divorced, and therefore we hold back the ksuba to make it easier to get divorced. So Rabbi Omer, halal divrei Torah, v'divrei Torah ain't tzrichin chizuk. Halal divrei sofer, v'divrei sofer ain't tzrichin chizuk. As we said in Beis Din, as we said earlier today, that when it comes to takanos of Chazal, the Rabbanans, so then we need a little extra encouragement to keep them. Davar acher, zehu margila. Zehu margila. What does that mean? Vizohi margila. So, how do you translate those words?
Just in the case of marriage between a widow and a Kohen Gadol, or between a divorcee or Kalush and an ordinary Kohen, it's the man who's persuading the woman to marry.
And the other one?
In the case of the marriage between the secondary Arias, it's the woman who persuades the man.
Okay, I don't know how that's... Is that always the case?
When a woman contemplates marriage to a secondary Arias, she takes into account that cohabiting with him will cause neither her nor her children to become disqualified. So she's going to...
She's good at the intellectual justification. No, we can do this. Nothing's going to happen. Whereas he, if he were to override an Isser D'Oraisa, it's because of his forcefulness. She has a sensitivity to not be over Isser D'Oraisa. So therefore, it's his fault. Okay, I don't know exactly. If this is a psychological insight, I'm not sure.
She wouldn't want to become, for her children to become disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, in the
right,
case,
so it's a sensitivity to her kids.
It's a sensitivity.
Okay, whereas the husband,
kids,
he doesn't care. Right. Interesting. So Davar Acher. Davar Acher Man Ketanila. Which upon what, in addition to which braisa, or who, to whose opinion said this? This davar achar ma'im katani la. So ika de amri, Rabbi Shimon Elazar katani la, who had already said something earlier.
Right.
Ma'tam kamar, and he's just explaining. Ma'tam amru hu psasul hu psula kan su asuk suba imnei shu margila. Ma'tam hu kashav hik shera kan su asuk suba imnei shu margila. So that's one possibility, that the reason why they made a kanas wasn't just because of leverage, but because of the intellectual insight that they had to see who was really at fault. That's why they made the kanas. So Ikad Amar, Rebbe Ketanila, which was the other opinion about giving chizuk. The chalutza kakashale, that when it comes to a chalutza, so then v'ha chalutza d'rabanan, v'isle ksuba. Chalutza is also midrabanan. And they still give her a ksuba, even though it's d'rabanan. Whereas the shnios, we said, they get no ksuba. So why are we giving a chizuk to the chalutza getting married to a kohen? So hada amar came into pasul la midrabanan del margila. He margila so. Hold on. Kevan de pasul la midrabanan zehu margila. Because he was the one that was going to ruin her truma access midrabanan. So then it's his problem because it was his, you know, doing to marry her, because that would be a negative consequence to her children or to her, I guess, also. Vizuhi margila. So when it comes to a shnia, when it comes to those things, so it's because of her only. No consequences for those. Okay, interesting. Only chalutza has the iser d'rabanan of truma. So ma'ika bein Rebbe l'Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar. What's the difference between the two reasons in terms of kenas versus chizuk? So it says Amar of Chista Mamzer sincerely Israeli Kibinahu Mandar Daraisa Hanami Daraisa. According to in a situation of an iser daraisa and not a d'rabanan, so here is also a daraisa, and therefore Rebbe would not be machmir about it, and there would be no need for a kenas. Sorry, yeah, no need for a kenas. Both of them would not need chizuk, whereas Rabbi Shimon Elazar's understanding, you could still do a kenas, I guess.
Yes.
Ma'andamar mishu margila ha'if ha'hi margila lei. She would still be the one doing it, and therefore there would be no ksuba. Okay, Rabbi Elazar de Amar Eliezer de Amar Hareza Evedu Mamzer, the one who thinks that a mamzer that marries a maidservant is considered a mamzer and an eved.
The child.
The child. Okay.
The marriage between a mamzer and a shivkananis has now the problems of being both.
Right. Hello, Margula Lev. Hello, Midi. She didn't do anything. She didn't want to get married to these people because that would affect her children. And therefore what? So why would you tell her she can't get a ksuba? That's not because of her. So El Amar Rav Yosef, Machzik Rusha Mishinises, Ika Benayu. Really, that can't be, the difference can't be a mamzer and a sina, Yisrael, because that would have, you know, that would break the code where it's her fault. It's not really her fault. And therefore it's not mach, it's not a nafkamin, because if it's not her fault, and if it's daraisa, we both say, in both situations, we would give her a ksuba. Okay, so the Gemara says, we're talking about a mafzer grusha mishenises. Once they were engaged, again, yigvina man da amr daraisa, hanami daraisa, according to daraisa, what? Do you give a ksuba for kiddushin?
No. You think, if you take back your divorcee after she was married to another man, that's an iser.
She was married before, in between, to another man. Okay. No, I'm not mishinistes, the second one. Mishinistes, the middle one.
Right.
The one she was not supposed to get married to. If you get married to the same person right away, so that's not a problem. If you got married to the same person after that person already got engaged to somebody else, so then that's machzer grusha midaraisa. So Gemara says, "Ikvinayu man da amar daraisa hanami daraisa." You got married to the same person, that's ish daraisa, and therefore you would not. She should get a ksuba. There's no knas because
it's an ish daraisa,
and you're going to get divorced anyway. Uman to Amr Mishu Margila, and according to the one that says that it's because he forced her and therefore it isn't a Zuba, so Hahi Margila Le. In the case of Machzor Grushaso, there's no long lasting implications besides actually a halal issue. And therefore it's his fault it's her fault and she would not have a Zuba according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar. So in that case, even according to Rabbi Akiva, she would not be doing it.
Because according to Rabbi Akiva, this child from
Master Ujesso is also a monster, and therefore she wouldn't do that, and therefore it would only be because of him, and therefore she should still get a ksuba, and therefore it's not in Askamina between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi. Elamer Papa Beulah Kohen Gadol Kibanayu. I'm talking about a non-virgin to a Kohen Gadol, which is also an Isser, but it's only an Isser Ase. Man Damer Daraisa Hanami Daraisa Man Damer Meishu Margila Hahi Margila Le. It's her because the Isser Ase is not going to cause any ramifications, even going to Rabbi Akiva, the children. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov Damer Yesh Chal Mechavi Ase. What about Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov, who thinks that there is a challah from Chai Ve'asin, and therefore the fact that kids never, she wouldn't want to, and therefore it would be her fault if she got married, it would be his fault if he got married, and therefore that she wouldn't get a ksuba, and therefore there wouldn't be an achmina between Rav Shimon Elazar and Rebbe. Halo margulalei v'lo midi. Right? So that's, again, not an achmina. El amar vashi master suffix sotaso. Suffix sotaso. I don't think I know this one. I mean, I know what the situation is, that maybe she's a sota, and then you still take her back. So Ika Benayu, Manda Amr Daraisa, Hanami Daraisa, Manda Amr of Neshu Margila, Hahi Margila Lei. It's really still her fault. Oh, we gotta go. Larry Masvin Kharsh Damra Fil Halach Bala Hashkosa Bala Badar Khazazon Halo Margala Lei Velo Midi. Amar Barav Ashi Sota Vada Ika Benayu. All right, we'll try to figure out what that means tomorrow.